Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah, wa ala alihi wa sabi ajma'in. Ashadu ala ilaha illallah wa tala sharikallah, wa ashadu muhammadin abduhu wa rasul ma'bad. You are listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we're here with some of our new friends and old friends, and we're having a pretty good time. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us pray together in the salat in jama'at. The salah in jama'ah means in English to be able to worship together in a group. Group worship, you might consider it like that. Sometimes, you know, we translate the word salah to be the word prayer. What is he doing? He's praying. And this is our prayer. But salah actually doesn't have a word in the English language. The English language is actually very deficient when it comes to translating matters of religion from the Arabic language. The reason for that is because there's no need for it in English, because the English language came to the Anglican people about 950 years ago, and they really didn't have that much worship going on. So let's discover a couple of things this morning, inshallah. What is salah exactly? Well, you have to use a number of words to explain it, but for sure it's not what most people would consider the word prayer or to pray. Because when a person, an English speaker, usually Christian, says he's praying, he means he's holding communication with God by supplicating, sometimes raising their hands, sometimes kneeling on the ground, sometimes folding their hands together and interlacing their fingers and really asking God for what they need. Sometimes just doing it in their heart. There is an expression which has been translated to the English language from the Koine Greek, which is the language of the translated version of the Bible for the New Testament. And in that expression it says you have to pray unceasingly. It means you never stop praying. Well, even that is clear that you couldn't do the supplication all the time. And in fact, this word was most likely the word dhikr, or to remember Allah unceasingly. This would make sense because it's something that a person could do, is to keep Allah at least in the back of their mind or their subconscious while they're going about their daily chores and their business and conducting their daily lives. But you couldn't constantly pray because you wouldn't be able to drive your car. Your hands are interlaced together and it would look kind of funny going down the street. Also, you would, if you were on your knees, then obviously you couldn't go to work. So the word prayer here has been translated by some folks, retranslated to mean to keep God in your mind at all times. Well, all of this we have words for in Arabic and even more. There's something in Arabic that we have that's called salah. If you continue salata, because it has the tarmabut at the end of the word, which is only pronounced if you continue to the next word. For instance, if I'm saying, well, did you make salah? I would ask you, how would I ask you in Arabic? Did you make salah? As-salaytu. As-salaytu. Ant-salaytu. Yeah, because you hear the salaytu. It's pronounced. Musalli. I'm talking about somebody praying, and I don't pronounce it because it's the end of the word. The end of the sentence. So this is a form of worship known to Islam. By the way, it was also known to the prophets of old as well. And what it means is to stand a certain way, facing a certain direction or qibla, and then to recite certain things, then to bow, then to stand erect again, and then to prostrate on the ground, and then to sit. And each one of those is called a rak'ah, or a bowing. Series of bowings from the word rukua. So when a person does this, they are making salah. The evidence for this actually goes further back than Islam, though. You'll find it that this is what prophets of old did, even going back to the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Moses, and so on. Because the Bible talks about them when they worshiped that they would bow down to their Lord, bowing to their Lord. And then also mentions that they would fall on their face. And it doesn't mean they did a pratfall, you know, where they just like pass out and fall over on their head, but rather that they would put their head down on the ground. And by the way, this is well established. Even some of the forms of the Christian religion and Jewish religion today preserve this bowing down on the ground. For instance, the Catholic fathers or priests still make a prostration on the ground, but the congregation behind them doesn't join them for this. Actually, they observe their priest doing this, and when they pray behind him, they're praying through him. Okay, that's how that works. And of course, they don't have it where they can go do it at home or anything like that. Also, if you've ever noticed the Pope, sometimes they will show the Pope bowing down to the ground, actually putting his head all the way on the ground as well. So this is evidenced, you know, from the monotheistic religion of Islam all the way back with the first prophets. Now, in Islam, we had it perfected, because when Allah made the final revelation, which is Quran, He sent the final prophet with it, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, then Allah sends along with him a way to worship Allah that's perfected, a way to keep him in your mind at all times, unceasingly, that's perfected, a way to communicate with him that's perfected, and a way to do this form of ibadah or worship, which is perfected. And the dhikr, which means to remember Allah, is well explained, and the examples are given to us, how to do it, what to say, and so on. And so this is remembering Allah unceasingly. Then there is also the communication with Allah, which is simply to raise your hands at any place or any time and say, Ya Allah, O God, Ya Rabbi, O my Lord, help me. And so this supplication is available to any person who would like to raise his hands to his Lord and do so. Finally, we'll come to the one called Salah. And let's talk about it just for a minute, because Alhamdulillah, Allah let us do that this morning. So we should think about what is this great rahmah or mercy of Allah. Well, it is to be able to worship Allah and communicate with Him directly, just as the prophets did before. The prophets and holy people of before, the people close to Allah, Wali Allah, they had this something beautiful, which now became available to all the people who would like to do it. And this came at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companions used to observe him praying like this, but they didn't have to. Some of them would try to emulate what he was doing, copy him, or be beside him when he prayed. But then it came the order for it, and how it came about is an amazing thing called the Isra wa Miraj, which means the journey and the ascension. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, was transported by miracle one night from Mecca, the holy masjid, the haram in Mecca, to the holy place in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. And there he was lifted up high on a slab or a rock. And he was lifted up high, 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 until he reached all the way to Allah. The story is quite long. I'm leaving out parts of it for you because we want to stay on the subject of just the salah. And there, in front of Allah, although he didn't see Allah, but he was in front of Allah, he was commanded by Allah this salah for all of his followers. And it's interesting that the conversation that took place, the greeting and the response and the salutation that took place, is very, very interesting, because it's actually preserved in the salah today. And how it comes is like this, that the angel Gabriel was with Muhammad through this thing, because Allah sent Jibril as a guide for him to be with him and accompany him through this ascension, going up into the heaven. But when they reached the highest spot, Jibril, alayhi salam, Gabriel, the Holy Spirit, as he's called by his name, or Ruh Qudus of Allah, he said that he can't continue any further, that he has to stop, he can't go on. And the reason he cites for that is because he's never been higher than this, and only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can go higher than this, which he does. And then the greeting from Allah comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the greeting from the Prophet to Allah is mentioned, and it's like this: Atayyatu lillahi wa salawatu atayyabatu. And it means all of the prayers and worship is only for Allah and none other. And then response comes from Allah to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Muhammad, and he says to him, Assalamu alayka ayyuha nabiyyu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the meaning here is, peace be upon you, O my Prophet, and the mercy of Allah and his blessings. It's interesting to note that the phrase here, Assalamu alayka, is not Assalamu alaykum, because always in the greeting in Islam, it's always Assalamu alaykum. And the reason is because it means peace be upon you and whoever's with you, meaning the angels. Even when you greet a person by themselves, you greet them in the plural, because kum means all of you guys. At the end means you guys. And if you said alayka, it means only you. And because there wasn't anybody else with him, Allah said alayka. And so then it continues, Wassalamu alayna ala abadallahu as-salihin. And also peace be upon those who follow the righteous way. And who is saying this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look at this, when Allah greets our Prophet, peace be upon him, with the greetings of peace and salutations and blessings, he immediately asks Allah to give these same blessings upon the righteous people. Those who follow the right way, I ask for peace upon them too. What a wonderful thing for him to do. And then comes our part. This is what we need to say in our shahada whenever we're holding our finger, moving it, and we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, or words to that effect, because there are different narrations of it. It can be simply Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. The meaning is, I bear witness and open testimony, there is none worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone, and he has no partners in worship. And I bear witness and open testimony, Muhammad is his last and his final messenger. And then, having said that, the person then has completed the first part of the tahajjud. And so this is just one of the many things that we learn from the salah. And when we're praying and we're making our salah, our ibadah, our worship to Allah, we should keep this in mind and remember that this is a mercy of Allah for us too. And this preserves something that happened over 1400 years ago, and we have it with us, and it's available for us to use all the time. And also that 1.5 billion Muslims in the world today say this same thing. About 88% of the Muslims in the world today, they're not Arabs. About only 12% of the Muslims today are from Arabic language and Arabic culture. All the rest of us, the 88 other percent, we learn this in Arabic language, even though we're not Arab, even though we have translation for us in Urdu, in Pashto, in Farsi, in English, we have Chinese, we have many different languages that we translate it into, but we never translate our salah into those languages. We keep our salah, our ibadah, our worship, in the Arabic language. And this is an amazing thing, because no other religion has this on the earth today, to preserve in the original language the way of the worship of the Prophet who came with it. I always like to mention too that the Prophet Muhammad, although he is sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last messenger of Allah, he told us that Jesus, peace be upon him, is coming back. He will return. We want to remember that too, because some people think when we say he's the last prophet that we are negating the return of Jesus, and we are not. And many of our programs, we've talked in detail all about that. I hope you'll check out our website to see about those stories as well. But today we're talking about the Salah. We've been speaking about this thing called the Ibadah or the Salah, and gave the translation for the meaning of it, and explained that it isn't prayer. It doesn't mean prayer. It means a formal way to worship Allah. And it has an entrance and it has an exit. It has a point where you enter into it and a point where you exit from it. And everything in between that is worship. So it mustn't be disturbed. A person who is eligible to make salah is one who testifies, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," that he bears witness, "There's none to worship except Allah. God is one and without partners. And that Muhammad is his messenger." And then that person would wash themselves, something called ablution in English, or wudu in the Arabia. And once a person performs this washing of the hands and the face and the arms and the head and the feet, then they're ready. And by the way, they're cleaner than some doctors when they get ready to do surgery. And now they're ready, you see, to enter into this form of worship. The next thing for them, though, is to know the direction to face. It used to be toward Jerusalem at the time of Muhammad. It was changed, and it came to Mecca. But for us, it's all right, because here in America, in the United States, if you face Jerusalem or Mecca, it doesn't change the degrees from where we are. But it's pretty much to the northeast, alhamdulillah. Once a person's facing their Qibla, though, and they're ready, then they have to be covered up from their knee to their navel, okay? And then they need to cover their top as well. Their not their head, but their top of their body, as an additional piece of cloth is to be over this. Not required the rest of the time when you're running around out in public, but it is in the salah to put this over you if you can. It's called a sunnah or something important. Then the person, he will make sure there's nothing between him and his place of prostration. Nobody can pass between him and where he's going to put his head down. This is something we're forgetting these days, called a sutra. And he puts this, and this is the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us about this. It can be as high as the saddle of a horse or a camel, because that's what he used to use. Stack of blankets, a pillow, something about this height, give you an idea. A briefcase works really well, or a purse or something like this. Just something enough to indicate that between me and that, I don't want anybody passing through while I'm praying, because I'm going to be putting my head there. So then the person raised their hands up, even with their shoulders and their ears, and they make what's called the takbirat, or the takbir to enter into the salah. And then they put their hands one over the other on the front of them, and that's it. They're in the salah. Now what they do, they begin to recite from the Quran. They recite the called Al-Fatiha, the opening surah of the Quran. And it goes something like this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Hidina siratul mustaqim. Siratul ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Wala dhalin. And if you're in the prayer, you say Ameen. But if you're reading from the Quran, you don't, because it's not in the Quran. So that would be correct if I was praying to say Ameen. Then he'll read some other surah from the Quran. Many times we read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid wa Lam Yulad wa Lam Yakul Hu Kufuwan Ahad. Now the meaning of these two surahs or chapters of the Quran are really beautiful and simple. The first one says, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all the praise is to Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, the only ruler on the day of judgment. You only do we worship, and you do we turn to for guidance. Guide us on the straight path, the path of those whom have your favor, and not the path of those who have your anger or those that go astray. Ameen. And then it continues when you go to the next surah, and it says, "And the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful." Say He is Allah, the unique. He is the one through all eternity that His creation depends on Him, yet He doesn't need the creation. The word Samad. Samad means all of this. He is not the father of anything, and He's not the son of anything. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. And He's not compared to anything anywhere, because He's unique. After this, then the person bows and makes a right angle with their body, with their eyes looking straight down, and they say in that position, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, that it glorifies Allah great and above all things in creation or anything that they would want to worship beside Him. And it mentions He is Azim, He is the Majesty, He is the Great. This is recited three times, and then he erects himself and stands up again, and he says, Allahu Akbar. And each movement from one position to another is this saying of Allahu Akbar, by the way. And that means, Allah, He's the greatest. He's greater than anything in His creation. And then from that position of standing up, he's saying when he gets into this, because you say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, when you come up, means that Allah, He hears those who are praising Him. Rabbana lakal hamd. And Allah, you say, praises to you, because you want Him to hear what you're saying. Then he makes the sajda or the prostration, putting his head down on the ground. And on the way down, by the way, he says, Allahu Akbar. When he puts his head on the ground, then he will say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. This means that Allah is, you're saying, Allah, You are mighty and above everything. Above, high above, Allah. Allah Ta'ala, high above. Then he said, Allahu Akbar, he sits up and he recites in this position, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. Now, he makes another prostration, repeating as he did before, and then he comes up and he can either go up for the second rak'ah, or if he's in the second one, then he finishes his prayer there with what we mentioned earlier, the recitation, well, you move the finger. And this is considered the prayer of what we just had this morning in the Fajr, which is two units or two rak'ah. And then in the Dhuhr, there's four. Asr has four. Maghrib has only three. And then in the night prayer, we have Isha, which is four. Now, certainly, my point in doing this morning was not to teach you how to pray, but it was to provide some understanding of what we're saying and what we mean while we're in the Salah. And I wanted to also clarify the meaning of the words and to help some of our youth and some of those who are new to Islam get sort of a feel for the beauty of this form of worship that is now available to all the human beings. By the way, I don't want to leave this subject before I mention something else to you. That when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came down from that high place where he was in front of Allah, he encountered the Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salam. And Moses asked him, oh, what did Allah say to you? He said, well, Allah has commanded the Salah for all the people. And Moses alayhi salam said, really? I want to know about this subject, you know. What did he say? He said, well, he commanded us to make 50 prayers a day, 50 these salawa, the plural of salah, salawa, 50, khamsin. Musa, Moses, peace be upon him, he said, what? They'll never do it. He said, I had a people, I had a nation, you know, and they won't do it. They won't. This is a horrible thing for them because it's not going to happen. They're just, you know, I know human beings, they won't do it. Go back and get Allah to reduce it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, reluctantly went back and asked Allah to reduce the number, and Allah did. And when he came back down in front of Moses, Moses asked him again, what did he say? He said he changed it to 45. He said, 45, they won't do it. I know people, they won't do it. Go back and get it reduced. And he did. And Allah reduced it again. And he came back down and he told him he reduced it again. How much? Like 40 now. Oh no, go back, get it reduced. This continues all the way down until it was five. And when it was only five, he came to Moses alayhi salam, and he said to him that Allah reduced it to five. Moses alayhi salam said, no, they can't do it. They'll never do it. I know people. I had a nation. Go back and get him to reduce it. He said, I can't. I'm too shy to go back and ask him to reduce it any more than that. So it remains, even until this day, at five times a day that we make this salawat, these prayers, or as we said, worship to Allah. The one at Fajr, which is before the sun comes up. The one which is after the prayer reaches the zenith, the sun reaches the zenith, that prayer time is called Dhuhr, right after noon. Then in the middle of the afternoon at Asr time, when a shadow is between one or twice the length of the object. And then after the sun first goes down, and this one is called Maghrib, and then the night prayer. And all of these are part of Islam and established from the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, whoever leaves the prayer, he's not from us. Laysa minha. So if you want to be a Muslim, this is a requirement. It's the second rukun of the pillars of Islam. After the Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah, is to know that you need to pray these five times a day. Now there are some adjustments to the prayer to make it easy for the traveler, to make it easy for the one who is sick or laying down, can't get up, and for those who are having other types of constraints. And certainly Allah is most merciful and makes it easy. But it's important for the Muslim to perform the prayers and encourage others to do the same. So I want to thank Allah for giving us the chance to make this Salah and Jama'ah today. Because I mentioned this too, that Allah says in His book that if anybody comes on the Day of Judgment with a good deed, well, He will show them actually 10 good deeds for it. So when you pray five, you still get the reward of 50, don't you? So it's still there. That's how merciful is Allah. But when you pray in a Jama'ah like we did this morning, a group, you will find 25 to 27 times the reward. 25 to 27 times the reward because you prayed in this group. Or it could be more. Allah can make it 70 or 700, 7,000 or as much as He wants. But it's to encourage us to come and be together and share this experience of making the Salah together. Well, you've been listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we've been talking about the word Salah, what it means, how to do it, and what it means to the Muslim. And nobody can consider them a Muslim if they refuse to make the Salah. So may Allah make it easy for all the Muslims to perform this form of worship, the Salah, and then do it as we did this morning in the Jama'ah. Oh, and one other thing. If you do it in the Fajr, in the morning prayers together, it counts even more for you. Even more. Because each step you take to come here is counting something good for you or taking away something bad. And when you come in the Fajr Salah, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if anybody prays the nighttime prayer in the Jama'ah, in the group, it's as though he stayed up half the night in the worship of Allah. But if he comes in the Fajr, the morning prayer, it's as though he finished and prayed the rest of the night in the Jama'ah. So if you were here last night in the group and you're here again this morning, it's as though you stayed up all night praying in this, or making worship in this form to Allah. Isn't that amazing? It's wonderful. So this is how generous Allah is. He's Al-Kareem, the most generous. And we thank Him, and we praise Him, and we ask Him to give us the tawfiq, the success on the Day of Judgment, and to accept our Salah. Because finally, I'll mention this. The Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us about the Salah. It's the first matter to be taken into consideration on the Day of Judgment. It will be the first thing taken into consideration on the Day of Judgment. And if the Salah is in order, then the whole of the matter is good, and the person will be able to cross the bridge over the hellfire into the paradise without any other justification or reckoning. He will not have to endure the rest of the Day of Judgment. And if his prayers are not quite in order, he didn't quite have enough, then his extra, his nafla, suburgatory Salah will be considered. And if it's sufficient to make up the difference, then he will be able to go into the paradise unquestioned about anything else. And may Allah give us this success. Ameen. But if his salat is not in order, then he will have to endure the rest of that. And may Allah save us from that. Ameen. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.